Yes, it's your phone calls, your time now with our guest Patrick Caron. He is live in Ireland, and I am live in Los Angeles. I'll be back in a moment at Coast to Coast AM. Well, Emily went from a Category 2 to a Category 4 while we've been on the air over the past several hours. She is really kicking up steam. Patrick Caron, our guest, your phone calls. Patrick, before we go to the calls, let's talk a little bit about the Antichrist. You say that this, can we call it a being? Is that a pretty accurate description?
I think he's a man, a spirit man.
Spirit man. He's down there somewhere, hasn't been let loose yet, right?
Yeah, and he's a gorgeous-looking guy. As I say, Apollo was always the epitome of beauty, of elegance, of speech, of sport, of prophecy, the god of medicine.
How does he get captured and put back, and then he gets out, and they put him back, and he gets out? How does that happen?
Well, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that, but obviously the good power, the Messiah and Yahweh and the power that's on their side is stronger than these guys, and they lock them up and put him away, but he's going to be released again. The whys and wherefores of that, I don't have the answer to that, George, right. But I know it's going to happen.
Do we know how he gets released?
It says a star comes down from heaven, and that's, again, a figure of speech for an angel, with the key to the bottomless pit, and he is released, and they come out, and it talks about these locusts coming out, and it describes them. Now, I think, again, locust is a figure of speech, because what do locusts do? They destroy everything in front of them.
Right, whatever they're, wherever they are.
Yeah. As we get closer to the end, in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, Daniel wrote down a whole bunch of these prophecies that parallel the book of Revelation. They're all about the end times. And it was a man who told him to write them down. And this man's name was Gabriel, the spirit man, same guy who delivers messages. And at the end of the book of Daniel, Daniel said to Gabriel, he said, look, at what do these things mean and when are they going to happen? And Gabriel said to him, more or less, mind your own business. He said, the prophecies are sealed up until the time of the end. Because we're coming into these end times now, George, I believe the apocalypse, the unveiling, the veil has been taken away, and we're beginning to see these things in a much clearer light.
And like I said before, Patrick, faster and faster and faster.
Look, things are happening at the rate of knots. No long, you know, 150 years ago, people were still driving around in stagecoaches and going in ships, which they've been doing for 4,000 years. Now, all of a sudden, you know, I just came from Los Angeles last week in less than 10 hours over there. By the way, I was at Ancient of Days conference in Roswell, and you can get the DVD of my lecture on that from my website. There's a little plug.
Okay, very good. Well, you're entitled to that because you're on the program for free. I've been using you all night. Hasn't cost me a penny.
Well, I'm absolutely delighted. I'd like to say thank you to you and to Coast to Coast and to your team, because thank God freedom of speech is still available in the United States.
Absolutely.
And it's not available in a lot of places, especially here in Europe.
Well, we keep fighting that, and we may be the last bastion for that, but they're not going to take it away. Let's go
absolutely
to the phones. First time caller line, you're on the air. Where are you calling from? Hi there.
This is Nick. I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, Nick. Go ahead. The platform is yours.
Well, I really enjoy your show, George, and I listen to you all the time. I'm driving from Arkansas back to Cleveland tonight. Anyway, Patrick, brother, how's it going today?
Very good, sir. How are you?
I'm just fantastic. A real quick question. Does any of this tie in with Ezekiel's wheel or Jacob's ladder? And is there any tie in to the Tower of Babel? And this has been very enlightening and very eye-opening, brother.
Well, I'm sure it does tie in with all that. In what way, I can't exactly know. But the whole thing ties in. I mean, in fact, George's choice of music there, Johnny Cash at the break, was absolutely fantastic. The whole thing ties in together, Nick, I think. In what way, who knows? You probably know more about that than I do. I don't know a whole lot about the Tower of Babel. They were trying to do the same thing. It says they reached unto the stars. So, again, they were involved with the Zodiac and with astronomy. Or with astrology, rather. And astrology is the false science of the occult. But again, it's tied in with this fascination for the signs of the zodiac and with the constellations and the biblical astronomy, because these guys are very involved in that. I'm sure they're watching the signs for what's coming down, because they know what's coming down.
When you were talking about the pyramids being built as a symbol to what they once had, let's say, were they also trying to give us a sign of where in the cosmos they might have come from?
Well, they are. As I said to you, the pyramids are an earthly representation of a celestial reality. And again, there's a very, very opaque verse in Isaiah 19. It says, in that day, and when it talks about that day, it's always talking about the Lord's day, the time of the apocalypse. It says, in that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. Now, if you look at the topography of Egypt, George, because of the Nile and the deltas run into it, when you run a line through the middle of it, the middle is also the border. And it says, there shall be an altar to the Lord in the middle of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. I believe this is talking about the Great Pyramid, and possibly the Sphinx too. As I said, the head of the woman, the body of the lion, Virgo and Leo, and Draco, the dragon, is also incorporated right in those three things there. And it says, it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. And I believe my book, The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse, is, as I say, it's the first book ever pointing out that the Great Pyramid of Egypt is a mirror image of this future pyramidal city, the New Jerusalem, that is to come, as described in great detail in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. And that's a fulfillment of this verse. Even though I believe the pyramids were built by the Nephilim, the fallen angels, as a monument to their own pride and their own ego, it says this is like an idiom. It's a Hebrew idiom. For instance, it says in Zechariah, this is the plague which the Lord will strike all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Again, talking about Armageddon. It says their flesh will rot while they are still standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths. Mm, I think that's like a neutron bomb.
Something like exactly that. You're right. Absolutely.
But it's not. It says this is the plague which the Lord will strike all the nations. Well, he's not really striking them. He's allowing it to happen, because that's a nuclear strike. It's an idiom. In the same way, when it says, it shall be for a sign, for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, the Great Pyramid is a sign and a witness unto the coming New Jerusalem, this huge pyramid city that's floating around out there on another country in a parallel universe, in another dimension, a place called heaven, wherein the Messiah sits on the right hand of his Father and surrounded by these angels. Even Johnny Cash said 100 million of these guys.
Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Mike from Arkansas.
Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
I was wondering for your guest, Patrick, if these Nephilim could be possibly the tall whites that are reported around Nellis Air Force Base and other places around the world.
We get reports, Patrick, that beings are still seen around this planet. I mean, I don't know. Could they be still out there running around?
Yeah, as I said earlier, I believe the guys that fell after the flood are still at large. Listen, all these things are all coming from either two sources. They're either coming from the Yahweh, the true God on the one side, or the God of this world, the evil guy on the other side. That, remember, the Bible says there's two gods, not one God. And you might remember the time the Messiah was being tempted. It says the devil showed him all the glories of the world in a moment of time. It says he took him to the highest pinnacle of the temple. And one guy described that as the first abduction, the first UFO abduction.
Right.
And it says he showed him all the glories of the world in a moment of time, just like that. Takes a lot of power to do that. And he said to the Messiah, all this power will I give you, and the authority that goes with it. For it was delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Now, if you'll bow down and worship me, that's what he said. I couldn't give you the shirt I'm wearing, George, if I didn't have it. He is the one with the power and authority of this world. He is the God of this world, and that's why the place is in such a mess.
Now, where did I miss it, though? I always thought the Bible talked about just one God.
Well, no, he's in fact called in Corinthians the God of this world. There are two gods, two main gods. But, you know, he's a God with a small g, as it were.
Well, let's see. West of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George and Patrick.
Hello.
Great show, and you're an excellent host.
Thanks.
And I'm thankful that I have found the way of escape. And, Patrick, Do you feel there could be any way that Atlantis was maybe a part of the falling of Babylon, of the Babel Tower?
I'm sure I don't know the answer to it. I would imagine that the Atlantis was probably wiped out in the flood. Remember, it says back in Genesis when it talked about the flood, it said it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, I think it was,
correct,
a downpour. But it also says that the foundations of the deep were torn up, were broken up. Now, I'm wondering, since that tsunami happened, I'm wondering when it says the foundations of the deep were broken up, was that a whole bunch of earthquakes? Was that all these, you know, plates flying up in the air causing huge tsunamis? And put that together with a downfall of 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, not only a few years ago, it rained for 4 or 5 nights solid down in one of the South American countries, not Guatemala, another one down there. And it displaced a couple of million people. There was hundreds, if not thousands, drowned. Everything was washed away.
I think it was Nicaragua.
In Nicaragua. And that was just a few days, George. Could you imagine what 40 days and 40 nights of the rain coming like, you know, like a cow whizzing on a flat rock, as they say? And then the foundations of the deep, great deep being broken up, perhaps that was tsunamis. And I think that's probably where Atlantis went to its watery grave.
Next up, International Line, where are you calling from? You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello? Nope, you're not there. Sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. Wildcard Line, hi there.
Hey, yeah. Hi Pat and George.
Hello, sir.
Good show. I got a couple quick questions here, and I wanted to take my answer off the air.
Okay.
After God's people are rescued off this planet, Patrick, what will be the world leader's explanation for God's chosen people and their disappearance? And could it be a possibility that they will say it was an abduction? And also, do you believe that after this happens, if it does indeed happen, could they be demons that appear as alien creatures in a bodily form?
Well, now that is the $65,000 question, as they say. I don't know what excuse they're going to come up with. It says that when the church is removed, as it were, the body is removed, that is going to make way for the Antichrist and for this guy, the man, it says, is revealed. And the word revealed is apocalypto. It says he's revealed to the point where people can see him. And as I read earlier, it says the inhabitants of the world are going to be astonished when they see the beast. You know, and they say, who can make war with this guy? And he's going to delude. It says God sends a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Now, I don't know what the lie is. I haven't figured that out yet. But remember, Antichrist does not mean against. Anti is the Greek for instead of. So this guy is going to be instead of the Christ. In fact, we're even told in Revelation that he receives a deadly head wound, that he's assassinated, and he rises from the dead again. This is, of course, a counterfeit of the resurrection. As I said earlier, Satan always duplicates apes, or copies what the true God does. So this is a fake, a counterfeit resurrection.
A clone,
and
maybe?
The people are going to believe that this is the Messiah. This is the guy.
Because of this fake resurrection?
Pardon?
Because of this fake resurrection?
That's going to be one of the things. It says they're going to deceive the whole world with lying signs and wonders, even to the point where they can breathe life into an image of the beast, which is a pretty heavy-duty magic trick to perform, I would say. So the people are going to be deceived by this guy, except for some. And I don't know what the excuse they're going to come up with is. A lot of Christian guys who are very interested in the UFO thing, like Mike Heiser and Stan Deo and these guys that I was with the Ancient of Days conference down in Roswell last week.
Yeah, good people too.
Absolutely. They think that all this whole UFO thing and all the stuff we're seeing on the television now, we went to see War of the Worlds down there.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Angel, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, all this Harry Potter, all this magic, this occult black magic stuff, and it's always presented in a very nice, you know, easy to be entreated thing that you want to know about. I believe this is softening up the ground for what's coming down the tubes and for the people that are going to be left behind to go through this thing. So I don't know what the excuse is going to be, but it's a very good question. I'm still waiting for the answer to that one, but I don't have the answer to that one yet.
Let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn at Coast to Coast with us. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Scott calling from Los Angeles.
Hi, Scott. Right around the corner, probably.
Yeah, probably. I've been listening to you since you took over from Art, and you're doing a fantastic job.
Thanks,
George.
Pat.
I heard that.
I just wanted to thank your guests for bringing up the subject of the Nephilim. I'm kind of curious. I've got two questions, actually. One, I'm wondering if you've ever had a chance to see a Nephilim.
Hmm.
And number two, does he understand that there's an actual language available to speak with angels?
The answer to your first question is no. I don't think I've met anyone face to face, but there are a lot of pictures of guys in the friezes and the steles of Egypt in the temples all over the place. For instance, in the Book of Enoch, when it talks about these guys falling from heaven and coming to earth, I have no doubt that these were good-looking guys. You're talking like a cross between, you know, George Clooney, Sean Connery, and Patrick Heron. You're talking good-looking guys here, right? But in the Book of Enoch, one of the other things it says about them, it says they had privy members like horses. Okay? These guys are very well endowed in the lower department, shall we say. And there are many, many pictures. There's scores of pictures on the temples and places in Egypt of men, and they look exactly like men. And the incredible thing about Egypt, if you've been there, I don't know if you've been there, George.
No, I haven't. I'd like to, but not yet.
Yeah, well, when you see these pictures, I mean, the engravings, they look like photographs. They're done with such technical accuracy and the engineering. And there's pictures of guys which literally have privy members like horses. I believe these are pictures of these guys. So if you want to see pictures of them, you can go and get books on Egypt, filter through them. In fact, I saw a whole book in a bookshop near the British Museum in London last year of these guys with privy members, literally like horses, and I think they're pictures of these guys. In fact, there's one guy, and it's a fabulous picture of this guy, and he's out there, you know, he's big, and it says, this is the god, the Egyptian god, Min. And I was like, I said to myself, if this is Min, I wouldn't like to see Max. So, yes, I think there are pictures of them, and you'll find them on the temples of Egypt. What was the second part of your question?
Second question, something that you should mention in the Book of Enoch. A little over 10 years ago, I produced a video called Enochian Magic, which gave people the ability to speak with angels. And that is going to be, I'm thinking about re-releasing it later on this year.
But call me, too. That's a great little program.
I've tried, George. I keep sending emails in, but it never seems to get on.
Well, flag it.
Okay.
All right, just make sure that, send it to my team. We see them all, but just put something there so I know that we talk to you.
Okay. Well, if you like, if you want to have someone take my number off here, I'd be more than happy to give it to you.
Tom's not here today. I've got Rob, and he's doing four different things.
Fantastic. Well, you are doing a fantastic job, George. Thank you very much for taking my call.
All right, and stay with us. We're going to be back in a moment with our guest, Patrick Heron. We're going to wrap it up with final phone calls. This has been a rapidly fast night tonight. If you need to email me, well, that's simple. It's george@coasttocoastam.com. Like I was saying, we do get them. And we do read them, and then I even respond to a lot of them. As a matter of fact, I spent about 2 hours today doing that. So we'll be back in a second. Patrick Heron, our guest, the Nephilim, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And our guest live in Ireland, Patrick Heron. We'll be back with him in a moment. We'll take your final calls. Don't forget our Friday program, of course, Open Lines, and you never know what to expect there. And I've got a special topic for you on our hotline tomorrow night. We'll talk about that. So that'll be our Friday night and the Saturday morning Open Lines. Ian, by the way, Ian Punnett will do this Saturday for us, filling in. And sometime next week or so, I should have some answers for you on just what the rest of the weekend schedule is going to be like. Patrick, I'll give you a little time at the end of this hour to talk about your website and some things that people can find when they go to it. Let's go to our final callers, because this half hour will go by fast. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
George, great to talk to you again. This is Mike in Northwest Arkansas.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. I got a question for Patrick. I got a comment first, though. I'm of Norwegian descent, and my great-great-grandfather had a giant break into his cabin in the mountains of Norway when he had his livestock up there. And could this be a product of the Nephilim or maybe Bigfoot? We can segue back into that.
I would say, Mike, that very possibly. And remember, Mighty Thor and the other gods of Norway?
Yeah, I was hoping you'd touch on that, too, because Odin, Thor, Loki, all of them are the same thing as the Greeks and the rest of the gods.
Absolutely, all the same guys. They were knocking around. You come to Ireland here, we have Newgrange in Ireland, but besides Newgrange, there's just scores of these dolmens, of these monument stone things all over the place, and invariably they will find charred human bones in these places. So these guys were into sacrificing human beings a lot of the time. Remember I said earlier that once the Messiah said, when he confronted the serpent and Adam and Eve, he said, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed, and the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. Well, the whole reason that these guys were sent down, the fallen angels, both before the flood and after the flood, was to destroy humankind, was to kill the seed of the woman. Because if they could kill off all the humans, then that prophecy would be aborted and their demise would be avoided in the future. And they've been trying that all along. That was the raison d'etre for these guys coming down here.
Patrick, who do you think Noah was then at that time?
Noah was in the long line from Adam down through Seth, Enoch, Methuselah. He was one of the line. But he was the only one, him and his family, were the only one who were not infected, whose genetic makeup was not interfered with by these guys. All the rest of the whole human race was. And you could have had 20, 30 million people on the earth at that stage.
Wild card line, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yeah, hi.
Good morning, and good morning, Patrick.
Good morning.
I was listening earlier when you had a comment about the age of the pyramids at Giza.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you had any comment about the channeling writings of Edgar Cayce, in which he mentioned that the pyramids were over 150,000 years old, and possibly also with the writings of Zachariah Sitchin falling into play there with the Sumerian texts.
I do not know. My guess is, and all it is an educated guess, was that they were done around 3,500 BC.
Right.
As I say, there was nobody there with a video camera, and you know the picture of a New York Times or the Los Angeles Times with the date on it and a photograph saying, "Hey, this is the day we completed it." So nobody knows exactly. That's my guess. I know that there was a huge amount of time between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Which you could have all the dinosaurs and prehistoric man and millions of years in there that you want. But my educated guess is around 3,500 BC. But who knows exactly?
I also had a comment to George.
Yeah.
George, that you had a guest on from the article from WorldNet Daily about the nuclear...
Yeah, Paul Williams.
Al-Qaeda. Yeah, the whole country is abuzz about it. I've been talking to friends online and whatnot. Today they also have an article in WorldNet Daily written by Bill Press, saying that calling Karl Rove Turblossom in full power, traitor in the White House. I thought it was unusual for WorldNet Daily, which is right-leaning.
Well, they're changing a lot of it. They're starting to call it the way they see it, which I think is good.
Which I think is fantastic, yeah.
I do, too. Okay, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's try to restrict your calls to Pat Heron because we only have a few more minutes left. Let's pick it up by going to our first-time caller line. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hey, good evening, George. How are you, sir?
Good, thank you.
I've listened for a long time. I'm going to make my questions brief for Mr. Heron.
All right.
I grew up as a Jehovah's Witnesses. You're probably familiar with it.
Yeah.
And I asked my father a few years ago about the gentleman that actually started the Jehovah's Witnesses organization, Charles Taze Russell. He wrote about the pyramids, and I asked my father about that, and he kind of shied me away from it. And I wondered if Mr. Heron had actually read anything about C.T. Russell. He has some connection to the Illuminati, but he wrote books about the pyramids.
And well, I don't know about his writings, but if he was associated with the Illuminati, then he's hanging around with the wrong guys. Because the Illuminati, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, the Masons, these are guys from the other side, and these are the guys, are, I believe, are in power and are working with the likes of the Nephilim, or maybe the Nephilim or the fallen angels that haven't fallen yet, and who are pulling the strings with a lot of this stuff that's gone on and happening all around the world. And remember, when you see, you're talking about China doing stuff today, or you see wars, the, what's happening in Iraq, or the bombs in London, we're always looking at the physical realities, but you've got to realise that there's spiritual realities, there's spiritual powers in the background pulling the strings of all these things. Just because you can't see them doesn't mean they're not there. And everything I said, even what you said, George, about China today, these are the shadows of the apocalypse. And when the Messiah talked about the end times, he said it was going to be like a woman in travail, like a woman in labor pains. As it gets closer to the birth, the more intense the contractions become, the more painful they become, the more closer together they become. So things are going to get worse. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And but this earth is going to be have a bloody rebirth into paradise regained. But as I said, you don't want to be around for what's going to happen in the apocalypse, because what's going to happen there is going to make the First World War, the Second World War, Stalin, Ho Chi Minh, who killed about, or Mao, who killed about 70 million of his own people, it's going to make that all look like an afternoon tea party to what's coming down the tubes.
I'm going to stay here, Patrick. I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to report on it.
Okay, George. Well, then keep my bike my book close to you. For even for those listeners out there saying, ah, this is a load of crap, I don't believe it, I think they should get this book too. Because if they wake up someday and there's a few hundred million people have vanished off the face of the earth, and all of a sudden this guy is going to rise up saying, hey, I'm going to save you from all this rubbish, then they'll want to know what's coming down. You guys need to get my book as well, I think.
Right. Well, I didn't say I didn't believe it. I just said I want to be around to broadcast it.
Well, okay, that's your choice, George.
Somebody's got to. Somebody's got to hang around.
I heard that, but I don't want to be here.
Wildcard Line, welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hey, good evening, George.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Good evening, Patrick. Hey, I've got a couple of questions for you. First of all, it's been, you know, rumored or written about Gilgamesh being one of these giants. And also, I wondered with as far as the Nephilim are concerned, the second Nephilim, if perhaps they're, because they couldn't distort the word of Christ, maybe they're attempting to distort the Muslim religion and causing this radicalized version of Islam. And Patrick, when I get home, I'll toast you with a splash of patty and sláinte. I'll take the response off the air. Thanks.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't mind having a drop of patty Irish whiskey myself.
Well, wait about 10 more minutes and you can have all you want.
Okay, well, you know, I mean, if you put a little drop of water through paddy whiskey, George, it goes down your throat like a torchlight procession and lights up the toes in your boots, begara.
I got to tell you, Patrick, and I'll let you answer this first, and then I'll tell you a funny story.
Okay, the Epic of Gilgamesh again talks about the flood, and apparently there was giants there, and I can't remember what the guy said now.
You must be into the little Irish whiskey already, huh?
A couple of glasses of red wine last night to make sure it's a good night's sleep before I talk to you.
Well, let's talk about this then, because a lot of this has to do with the end times and what's ahead. You've heard of 2012, right? The Mayan calendar, the end of the Mayan calendar.
Yes, I have.
Is that tie into any of this?
I don't know. You see, what is 2012? Our day, our calendar is built or made on the birth of the Messiah, but he was born anywhere from 4 BC to 6 BC, so who knows? All I know is it says in Scripture, no man knows the day or the hour. I know the time is near, but as I say, I don't know whether that's 1 year, 5 years, or 20 years, or 15 years. But the writing's on the wall. The Jews are back in Israel since 1948. What's that? 57 years?
57 years.
How long is a generation? We are the generation. All this stuff is coming together right now. The writing's on the wall.
Well, you know, let me tell you this. 10 years ago, I would have said preposterous. Now I see signs that things are happening very, very fast. And I feel very uncomfortable with it. We're all in it together. You've got your thoughts and theories on how to get out of it. But it is happening quickly, and when I would have said 10 years ago, no, now I'm not sure anymore.
George, everybody in the whole world is looking at stuff going on, and they're saying, this cannot keep up. What is going on? There's an air of foreboding everybody. You don't have to be a spiritual person or a Christian or a prophet to realize that something's happening. And, I mean, I speak to ordinary guys in pubs, ordinary people here all the time about this stuff. You know, people are aware that something is going on. What I've provided in my book, The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse, is to put all the jigsaw puzzle together to show people, to give them a clear picture and give them a clear choice. And, you know, it's not a hard thing, you know. What the Messiah provided was free. And he's not asking for you to do anything or in particular. And he wasn't a religious guy. He was a cool guy. He made a great statement once. He said, "They shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free." Who doesn't want to be free? This is what I'm showing. He's not a religious guy. He wasn't one of the guy with the tall hats and the long, you know, frocks or the skirts who were up in the pulpits. He was a cool guy. You want to know this guy. And women loved him, by the way. It was the women that were around the cross when all the rest of the guys, you couldn't see them for dust. They ran away. Women loved this guy.
In your neck of the woods, David Icke's up there. He talks about the reptilians. You don't touch on that.
I don't know. I haven't read his stuff. I don't know anything about it. But I know that in Enoch says that these Nephilim, a lot of them took them on forms which they chose. And if you go and look at the pictures that are in on the friezes on the walls in Egypt and that, you'll see a lot of weird-looking things, like Num was a goat, Sobek was the crocodile god, Anubis was the jackin, and Horus was the god with the falcon head, who again could be Garuda or Quasi-Kotal or the other guy that you talked about.
Lord Pakal.
Exactly. So there's a lot of weird-looking guys there, and I believe they were involved in genetic engineering. I believe there probably was things like centaurs and minotaurs, and that's why God said he was going to wipe out the creeping thing and the bird of the air and the crawling thing of the ground and everything, because, you know, why else would you want to wipe these out? And you look at the pictures from all over the place, and I have pictures in my book from Shalmaneser II, from an obelisk there, and it shows all these animals. It'll show like a monkey, and he's got the hands of a human and the feet of a human, and another thing that looks like some sort of a lion, except it's got a man's head on it. And this is, you know, done in black, hard granite stone, and these are in the middle of ordinary pictures or images of horses, soldiers, elephants, and very, very ordinary other things that we'd be familiar with. These depictions are right in the middle of them. Now, why would they put them there if they didn't exist?
West of the Rockies, you're up with Patrick Heron. Hi there.
Hello, how you doing, George?
Good.
Patrick.
Hi.
Patrick, I've got a question here on King Melchizedek, the priest who met Abraham.
Yes.
I am puzzled over this. He had neither father nor mother, nor descent, neither beginning of days nor end of life. He was not God, because he was like unto the Son of God. Who is this fellow? Is he still on earth?
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
He doesn't have end of life. Maybe
Glenn Kimball, who's been on the program, claims that Melchizedek has been around for a long, long time and is on this planet. Patrick, I don't know if you ever got into that.
I don't know. Don't know. Okay. Wasn't he the one who told Abraham to pay tribute?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I haven't a clue. And I'm one of the guys that if I don't know the answer to the question, I'll just say I don't know. I really don't know the answer.
Right. Yeah, and the best I can say is yes. According to my past guest, Glenn Kimball, Melchizedek, he's still around. As a matter of fact, Glenn thinks he was Merlin during the King Arthur days. He's been around.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Okay,
thanks for the call. Appreciate that. I'm going to have to ask you at the end of the show, Patrick, about leprechauns, because we've talked about giants all day. What about leprechauns in Ireland? I mean, do you believe they were real? Still are?
No, but here's a very, very interesting thing. Do you remember we talked about the serpent of Genesis 3, how the serpent is a figure of speech?
Yes.
For Satan, for the fallen angel, a beautiful-looking man. It's just like when John the Baptist saw the Messiah, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He wasn't looking at a little woolly animal with four legs. It was a figure of speech. In the same way, the serpent is a figure of speech for this fallen spirit man. Now, you've heard that St. Patrick drove the snakes out of Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
I was speaking with this with a young guy from north of Ireland last year. He said it wasn't the snakes that he drove out. It was the serpents. And these serpents were the druids. And again, they were involved in black magic, in the occult, and in human sacrifice and blood sacrifices. And that's what Patrick drove out of Ireland. And they're the guys that were here that built Newgrange and all these other domains and souterrains and various stone artifacts all over the place. It was the serpents that Patrick drove out of Ireland, not the snakes. And then they probably went to the likes of Guatemala, Mexico, Bolivia, Peru, and places like this, I believe. And then maybe after that, on to Angkor Wat in Cambodia and various other places.
So do you think these leprechauns were symbols?
I don't know what the leprechauns were. I haven't met one. I met a few fairies, all right.
There are they. Did you see, there was a picture of fairies about 50, 60 years ago. Just incredible stuff. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, hi. George, Patrick. My name's Mark. I'm from Ringling, New Jersey. Listen, WABC. I'll tell you, it's just a human being on this planet. I mean, you've had some interesting programs over the past 6 months with this kind of like a Manichean dualism. On the 11th, I was listening to a program. You had a repeat, Aaron Donahue.
Yes, the Luciferian.
Yeah, and I'm listening to Patrick here, and it sounds like, you know, the other side of the coin. And I'm just beginning to wonder if these two sides of the coin are just fighting, like two families fighting. And the rest of us humans are just caught in the middle, and... And, you know, it's just destruction either way you look at it. And I just can't figure out how a loving God can permit this type of stuff.
Well, Patrick, with a minute or so left, how can
I think
a loving
maybe,
God?
Maybe we were put down here in a sort of a purgatory in order to find out, in order to seek. The Messiah said one time, seek and thou shalt find. Knock on the door, shall be opened, ask and it shall be given. Maybe we have to see all this bad stuff to, in order to seek him out, to find him, and to choose good. Maybe that's what it's all about. This is all part of the thing. By the way, George, can I quickly give out my information?
Take it away. Yep.
Okay, my book is called The Nephilim, N-E-P-H-I-L-I-M. If you put that into Amazon, or my name, Patrick Heron, H-E-R-O-N, that's like a wading board, five letters, then it'll come up. It only costs about $11 on Amazon. I've got a toll-free number, which is 866-909-BOOK. That's 866-909-2665, and you can get that 24/7. Or if you go into any bookshop and order it, Barnes & Noble are stocking the book, and if Barnes & Noble haven't got it on their shelves, then they will get it for you in a very, very short time. If you want a signed copy dedicated from yours truly here, then you can go onto my website, www.nephilimapocalypse.com, N-E-P-H-I-L-I-M, apocalypse, A-P-O-C-A-L-Y-P-S-E.com. And I also have a DVD on there, or you can go to ancientofdays.net and get my DVD, which is only $10, by the way, and it's free postage in the United States.
It's a fascinating read, Patrick.
Yes.
Appreciate you being on the show, my friend. Take care.
Thank you very, very much for having me on. Bless you.
For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Nikki Imbrunoni, Rob Ismail, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.